Hi, Gloamies. It's Esther. I miss you. I hope you miss me. I don't know. Let me know. We have another re-release this week. We are sorry to those of you who are long-time listeners and maybe, you know, heard this and are ready for some new stuff. But to those of you who haven't heard this John Early episode yet, I'm excited for you because you're getting to see it bumped up. You're being reminded, holy shit, I need to listen to this because John Early is so funny and we learned so much from him in this episode. And it's just, it's a classic. I'll say it. It's a vintage classic. And yeah, I just wanted to check in and say that we miss you guys. And there's really just been some circumstances that have been in our freaking way and we're figuring it out. And, you know, I believe we'll have more to say next week, but for now, I just wanted to let you know that we are coming near a break in the show. Maybe they told you guys this last week. I don't even know. But, you know, we want to take a beat, focus on all the other things that we're focusing on and come back stronger, bigger, badder than ever before so that we can do this the right way. But honestly, we're just like so grateful that you guys are here with us because we're so weird and we're so like obsessed with Starbucks and like Disney World and like the stupidest corporate bullshit. And the fact that you guys actually are listening to that just makes me feel like seen and heard and understood in a way that I never imagined I would ever feel. And I know Clayton and Caroline feel that way as well. And by the way, how lucky am I that I know those two? I mean, those two are the two funniest people on the planet, right? Like, they're so funny. And this job with them where I just get to sit and, like, poke around and listen to them go crazy and be funny, I feel so lucky. So I know I'm not letting go of that. And I know they're not either. So we do have plans. And, you know, I don't like to, like, say things before they're happening, but I'm just to let you guys know that we have our listeners in mind. We're grateful. I'm fucking rambling. It's disgusting. I'm just a rambling idiot. But a couple things before we get into this, you guys know I have my clothing line Sleepover by Esther, and we have some very cool launches coming up. There were production delays. You know, I'm a fancy businesswoman, so I get to say that now, production delays. And, but there's stuff that I'm really excited coming out. And I will give you an exclusive glowing up hint that one of the styles coming up is called Sad Malibu Barbie. So if you are interested in that, follow Sleepover by Esther on Instagram. But more importantly, the text alerts that I are free and normal. And I guess SMS texting is like the new way of the world. So I'm on board with it. All you have to do is text the word sleepover to 847-648-9098. That number is available on my Instagram bio. So it's really easy to shoot a text and then you're signed up and you get the alerts when I'm going to go on tour this fall. If you guys are interested in info on that, all that stuff is important for, all that stuff you will get if it's important to you, if you want the texting. Anyways. Okay. So what else? Caroline has eatfishwife.com. I'm so freaking proud of this girl. You guys know, I watched her eat fish eyes and fish brains at a Las Vegas lunch special, okay? So yes, she knows a thing or two about fish, and yes, she nailed it. And I am so proud to be on this journey with her as her friend and as, I'll say it, an investor. I freaking invested in Fishwife. That's how much I believe in it. Well, I believe in anything Caroline does because I actually look up to her in such a scary, creepy way. Like I really look up to her. She's so funny. She's so hardworking. Her fucking mom is like the funniest. Her mom delivers the funniest stories in the world. Anyway, rambling again. But eatfishwife.com, and she's doing so many collabs with like really cool brands, and they have events and they're in different popping up in all different stores. So definitely you want to follow the Fishwife Instagram. Obviously follow Caroline on Instagram at porkchop.biz. Just stay in the loop with Fishwife because I have a good feeling we're going to be seeing more and more cool stuff. And I know there's going to be more drops of new fish launches. So anyways. Let's talk about, can we talk about Clayton for a second? When I met Clayton, like within 3 minutes, I was like, oh, this person is funny. And this is not just a normal funny. This person is like I do stand-up comedian. I've been a stand-up comedian for 10 years. This person is one of the funniest, this is the funniest person I've ever met. He just, there's something about Clayton. Like, I don't know how he's so high functioning and so talented and just naturally himself, but he is, look, you know that saying, you are who you surround yourself with? That is why I am friends with Caroline and Clayton, so I can be like them. And that is why I genuinely say, listen to our stuff, follow their work, so you can join me on my journey of being more like Caroline and Clayton. I can't think of two cooler, funnier, more talented people that I just want to be like. And Clayton freaking, do you know what's crazy? A year ago, no one knew who Olivia Rodrigo was. And Clayton was like, Esther, she's going to be so big. And I was like, okay, I'm following, I'm in. And I can't believe how right he was. And now he is everywhere with her. He is going to be, I think we're moments away from them just being all over the world together. And it's been the coolest thing to watch his career blow the F up. And I think it really is because he knows talent. And so he knows who to stick with. And I know that just from my interactions with Olivia and through everything he tells me, you guys, she is the real deal. She is such a cool person. All right, I guess this is just Esther's monologue now. But you guys, follow Clayton Hawkins on Instagram. I cannot wait to see what the fuck this guy keeps doing. And I want to be like him when I grow up. So you guys, I've been Esther. Please enjoy this hilarious re-release with freaking John Early. Can you believe we even had him on the show? Like how lucky, how cool. Also, this freaking Starbucks passion tea lemonade drink, when you just need like an afternoon mood boost, is so good. The passion tea, iced passion tea lemonade. But it can be a little sweet. So, but if you just do the iced passion tea, then you're getting the no sweet version, which is still really good. So you pick, dealer's choice. Not the dealer, but anyways, I have been Esther. Oh my God, I forgot to tell you, I'm a producer on iCarly. Watch that on Paramount Plus. And if you get Paramount Plus, you can also watch my stand-up special, Hot for My Name. Eatfishwife.com. You know the things. Listen to this episode. Love it. We will see you next week, and we will keep this going. Love you guys. Let's get ready to be.
What's up, Glomies?
It's...
Oh! I'm so excited, Esther.
I know. Our guest is so... I mean...
I don't even need an introduction. Yeah, no introduction.
John Early.
Shut up.
John, mother flippin' Early.
Thank you.
John.
Hi.
By popular demand.
I know.
Really?
Yeah, we asked our listeners who they would want to have on.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Well, you are named. I have up. Huge news for you guys.
What?
I didn't know the concept till this morning.
Perfect.
Perfect. Which I think is good because like even if I had known the concept, it still would have been like Arm & Hammer, like would have been what I was bringing in.
But self-care can take so many forms.
Yeah.
So tell me what the
elevator pitch?
Yeah, I want the elevator pitch.
We're just talking. Like, we're just having girl talk. We're talking about our favorite products sometimes. We're talking about
sometimes.
Self-care. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, okay, 25% of it sticks to the topic.
Our mental health, our stress, our anxieties.
Ooh,
we're talking,
okay.
I
was told specifically just like, what are your favorite products?
Well, that's easy way in.
That's a way in. Okay. But it does take on other.
That gets the conversation going.
Okay. Well, and I'm ready to talk products too. Like, but it is going to be, you're going to feel like you're in college.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah.
Well, do you have toilet paper? Because most college dudes don't.
I do. I actually do. I mean, I do want to say like, I love my home, but like product wise.
you're very into self-care. Like, the little I know about you.
Yeah.
I mean, one time I met you when you were, like, deep in Whole 30.
Oh.
Like, I feel like you're on it with your health.
Well, you know, I'm actually really not with my health, but I'm learning a little. I mean, like, so I did Whole 30 with Kate Berlant, my
I remember when she was doing Whole 30. Primary collaborator.
Yes.
And she was giving me shit for being vegan.
Oh my god. Are you still vegan?
Yes, tell her.
Okay, absolutely.
Every time
absolutely.
I see her, I'm like, I'm still vegan, you bitch.
She said you weren't going to last.
Well,
right?
In Montreal, we pulled an all-nighter, me, Kate, and Lisa Traeger, and Annie Letterman.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, we're going to go get brunch, like, at 7 in the morning or whatever. And I was like, I can't go there. I'm vegan. And they're like, just eat something. You're not going to be vegan forever. Like, they were so mean. They bullied me. I know.
That's hard to imagine.
And that's so funny like because, Kate essentially presents as a vegan, too. Like,
Kate does?
Yeah. Just, like, socially. She's very socially. Much not a vegan. But, like,
interesting.
But I do, so I just, like, it is very hypocritical of her, and I'm here to call her out today.
I was just being annoying because I couldn't go get eggs.
Why couldn't
her.
You go get, like, toast at that restaurant? I don't know why I'm ganging up with them on you.
We ended up going to, like, a horrible hotel buffet, and I had cereal. It was fine.
There you go.
Buffets. Ooh. Rubber eggs at buffets. Like,
ooh, what are the breakfast no hotel buffets?
And it's literally, you know those eggs. Did your parents use egg substitute?
No.
That's Excuse so me? Sad. You mean like for egg whites or the whole egg?
Like literally it comes in a carton.
Yeah.
It's very like 60s, I feel. Like,
what's the point of it?
It's easier.
Okay, you're yelling at me. And we're talking about my family here. I don't really know. You know what? It's not, I don't even know if it's substitute or if it's just like,
it's egg.
Eggs that are ready to scramble, basically. Oh. It's just like, it's like egg crazy. And like some weird substance, like to, I guess, preserve it in a carton.
Yeah, it's
for
like
so
in
long.
A suspension of oil, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a deconstructed, like it's a great mask. It's a deconstructed egg. It's just so easy. I mean, that's what like American supermarkets are about. It's
exactly.
like the ease factor. It's like, you don't want to crack an egg, but we'll make it so you just have to pour something.
Pour it from a carton into like a casserole pan.
Pouring from a carton is like the American way.
I was born to be in the 60s. Like that, I want to pour.
Where'd you grow up?
Skokie, Illinois, suburb of Chicago. Where
Sorry,
did you grow up?
Nashville.
Oh. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Nashville.
Chic as hell.
Yeah, it's very chic.
Nashville's it's a good city.
How was Whole 30 for you?
Oh, sorry. Okay, so here's the deal. I was only able to do it, like, the night before we started, I had, like, a true moment with Gabe where I was like, we can't do this. I was like, who do you think we are? I was like, we can't even like when we went out, we really are not like Kate and my friendship really is like hedonistic, like or it's very indulgent in a fun way. Not I don't need to frame it negatively. Like we love to eat out and like we love like cooking with each other and like we love like indulging. Yeah, I don't know. Like so, I just was like, what are and also just we're kind of slobs. Like there are ways in which I can make like a pretty home, but then I'm also like. At my core, I think I'm just kind of a slob, and I'm a procrastinator, and so I just was like, I've never shown myself in my life that I had that kind of discipline, but we just were shooting a pilot, and we wanted it so bad, like we wanted to look because it's not just we were like I'm gonna be on TV, like that's never like I've done two seasons of Search Party where I've been like the biggest I've ever been. And been like in my underwear. So like, and like, I don't care. And I think it's kind of funny that Elliot's chubby, but like, but that sounds very self-deprecating. He's not chubby, but you know what I mean?
I hear you.
Like I've been,
it's up to it, you, how you feel about your
me.
Body.
Like I had back surgery right before season one of Search Party, or I had like back problems. I had a herniated disc. Like I like couldn't move. It was like 2 years of being so sedentary.
Ooh.
And then I was like, oh wait, I'm on TV. Like I had never really been on TV. I was like, oops.
I know.
I always just assumed if I got on a TV show, like...
You'd be... This is...
I would just be like...
Yeah, so you'd be at your absolute best. You'd be eating the best food. I know. That's like, I gave up on that, too. Like, season one of Alone Together, I look back and I'm just like, I was eating so much in between. Like, I just do not look my best.
Well, I was also, like, in this place where I was
amazing.
Like...
We do. We both...
You look so
that's also
good.
True. We both looked amazing, but we also... have our own feelings about
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly.
But you're
right. I think I look dewy as hell. I am peerless. I am poreless on that show, okay? But I am It's a tough look. I also have like an alt-right haircut that is like not flattering for the face, whatever. These are just things that like I never thought I'd be this concerned either. That's the other thing. Like, and then suddenly you just like watch yourself and you realize like the camera gets every angle that you never see in your daily life. You only see your reflection. You only see this like very symmetrical head-on thing, the occasional profile, but then
body
the
profile
is 360. Like you never you never see those parts of your body. It's like it's so humbling. And of course no one cares, no one sees it in the way that you do.
No, of course.
But it was like, and I also like during search party too, I was like, ooh, I'm on a TV show. So I was like drinking like a fish. I was like going out to dinners. I was like,
what? Because you were getting the money.
For the first time ever. So I was like, right. I was like, let's have dinners, like with my friends in New York and like
so
bottles of
fun.
Wine. And then just I was like, and I watched certain episodes. I'm like, oh, I look so hungover. It's like so clear, and like the continuity is all fucked because like, you know, whatever.
So you can see the hangover on your face.
Oh, I can see.
How? It. Because you can't like? See stuff in a mirror. It's so true. Like yeah. People are like, oh, I look hungover. I look this. I'm like, I can't see anything.
No, I can see it, and no one's noticing these things but me. But like, no, I'm just like really like red and swollen,
ooh.
And like, and my eyes are really sunken in, ooh. And then like puffy everywhere else, and like. Anyway,
you do have poreless skin. You
thank
really
you, thank
do
you.
Have some of the most beautiful skin.
It's, you know, very lucky.
That's
I have to say I really relate to that because even this week I was working out. I was feeling so good in my about my body. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I love it. I'm
yes.
great. I'm healthy.
Ooh.
And then the second I step into a wardrobe
yeah.
fitting, like there's something about trying on clothes.
Oh,
it's just
so
like
emotional.
I'm like, oh, I'm disgusting. Like I just immediately am back to hating myself.
Back to zero. Like
yeah.
it's like from 60 to zero real
yeah.
quick.
It's crazy.
I know.
Well, it's like clothes are like sensitive in the way that like haircuts are sensitive. It's just like, I mean, I used to like when I was a kid, I would have to change from like, you know, when winter would turn into spring, like, and I had to start wearing shorts, I would like throw a fit and sob. Like there's just something so vulnerable about clothes. Anyway, no, but Whole30. So I've never, the point I'm trying to say is like to give you context, I've never once been able to care enough even being horrified watching myself on television and be like, oh, so you're Jeff Daniels at age 50. like you're not even like terms of endearment Jeff Daniels. I look like newsroom Jeff Daniels. Like I look like Jeff Daniels in the Hours.
Oh.
Okay. Like, which honestly isn't that bad.
Jeff Daniels is so hot.
No, I think he's so hot, but I'm just saying, like when he was my age, he was like, yeah, yeah. Anyway, whatever. The point is, I hate, by the way, that I'm talking about my appearance in this
and
way.
You're
but whatever.
So hot and amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyone would literally, so many people would like cut off a finger to fuck you.
I know. But it's so relatable to feel this way. So it's
of
fine.
Yes,
totally.
So yeah, so even after that level of self-consciousness, I still couldn't get my shit together. Like this last season of Search Party, I was like, well, I joined a gym while we were shooting in Brooklyn, like the gym that was near, it was like a Crunch. And I like went
okay.
once and the and I was, I've never been to a gym, like I've never done that, and I was so fucking nervous. And I literally did. I didn't have like. I was wearing like, cotton shorts, not like even like workout clothes.
So it shows
sweat.
That's
all I had. And I literally. Well, no, I did a little. I took a barbell.
Yeah, that's
what
right.
It's called.
Like
put it behind my neck to do a squat. I did one squat, my pants ripped open, like
are
the
you serious?
Full seam, and I it was like a it was
that's
a it was
they
SpongeBob
rider. No it was a
season
cartoon.
One
like,
of SpongeBob
were they like Safi cheerleader shorts?
They're like old Safi. American Apparel like light denim.
Oh no!
Shorts that were like so old and like threadbare,
and I just
put the barbell down and I just walked straight out of the gym and I did not go back the whole summer, but I paid for 4 months. Anyway, the point is, and walked like 15 minutes in like New York sun with like my pants fully split open.
Yeah.
Anyway, so even that self consciousness could not propel me to get like healthy or whatever. But then this pilot, we wanted to look iconic. And I don't mean just physically. I mean, like, the clothes. Like, the clothes were so important. And the looks were so important.
Why? What was it about? I don't even know. What was it about?
Well, hopefully you'll know one day. But it's just, like, it's very... we wanted it to kind of be, like, ab fab in the way that, like...
So cool.
You know, every look they have together is so well manicured. Mm-hmm. And, like, they look... They're just like, great looks. And, like, we just wanted... it's just like a very simple, like kind of two best friends, like Romeo and Michelle, Ab Fab, like very but candy colored.
Gotcha. Oh, like Almitra did the sets, right?
She was so good. Almitra's she did such a good job.
Amazing. I saw pictures of like clouds, I feel like.
Yes.
Gorgeous.
Yes. It's very beautiful. And we just wanted it to be kind of classique in like the fashion. We wanted to like fit in our shit.
Hell yeah, dude.
You know, and like cut, and we wanted baby. To make create lines with the looks. Like I wanted to wear like sweet little tapered like 60s pants with like a turtleneck and like everything tucked into the pants. Ooh. I wanted it always to be like, you know, like very kind of and I wore lots of like high waisted like pleated pants and like I have like finger waves in my hair.
It's, oh
like,
my God. We look,
and so we did Whole 30 and we did it. Like,
we did it.
There was one point, like, 5 days in where Kate was eating an Altoid, and I was like, Kate, spit it out. Oh. And I was like, babe, we do not have to start over because of that. And we, of course, were loose. Like, we'd go out and get steaks, and then we'd be like, we'd find out halfway through that they, of course, cooked it in butter, and we're like, who fucking cares? So, like, we weren't, like, and I would rather die than be that crazy than to be like, we have to start over. We have to start the 30
yeah,
days over.
That's the key to any lifestyle change. Yeah. I mean, that's my approach to being dairy-free, is like, yes, I will have a spoonful of yogurt because I, like, need to try it or something.
Yeah. And not read the ingredients on your Sun Chip. Sorry.
I did read the ingredients. I did on the planes.
It was fine.
This is why it's not fun to be around you sometimes, Esther. I thought it'd be so fun to bring us together that I'm now dairy free. I'm like, we can bond over this.
I'm trying to help you.
It doesn't feel like it sometimes.
I told you you could eat a Rice Krispie treat this week. I said I would turn a blind eye to that.
Well, that doesn't make it fun when Rice Krispie treats are brought into the office and Esther's first comment is, Carolyn, you can eat one and I won't judge you. And it's like, yes, I was thinking about eating one. And I did want to eat one.
Well, I did too.
And I did ultimately eat one when you were out of the room. But
I don't want to. I don't want it to be like this.
No, I don't care. I have high self-confidence and a high sense of self, and no derogatory comments you can make on my sonship habits will stop me from feeling the way I do about myself. But just now, those plain sonships, I did check. They didn't have dairy. I can't believe we're having this conversation.
I'm sorry.
They didn't have
dairy. I'm just trying to
support
you.
Did you think there was like cheese powder on it?
They do. A lot of the Sun Chips in our writer's room had a dairy element to them, but I guess we didn't have plain ones. Look, it's fine.
Esther is trying to make me be the best version of myself I can be.
That's right. Yeah. And I'm not saying start over, you're failing. I'm just saying, like, check ingredients.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
You'd be surprised what dairy is in things. What things have dairy in them.
And it's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so
I
okay.
wanted a Rice Krispie treat, too. They weren't vegan, and I was, okay.
Can I ask quickly, were they, like, Rice Krispie treat brand or was it
no
homemade?
We they ordered were, lunch is... from this place called Simple Things and they were like, here's a thank you tray of homemade Rice Krispies with golden graham sprinkled in.
Oh my,
I know.
God.
They looked
don't
so
tell
good.
Me you're not wow. slightly hard
we're,
right now.
I know I'm half hard.
Wait, Caroline, how were they?
They were iconic. They were so good.
Are you serious?
And I enjoyed every buttery bite of it.
I respect that. I fully respect that.
Yeah, no, I think that your one thing that you're willing to give on is desserts. Because you love desserts so much, you're like, I can't stop you from enjoying this.
That's so true.
It's like, that's your weakness. That's your albatross. And you want to see me, like, spread my wings and fly, but you
Butterfly.
Know.
Butterfly.
Yeah. I'm Esther's little dairy butterfly. She wants me to fly, but she also like wants me to be safe. So okay, so Whole 30 is like a lot of meat, no sugar, no bread.
No sugar, no grain. And I am a pasta lover.
Pasta
bar. I'm like, sugar, it's like my no favorite bread. Thing to cook and like my favorite thing to eat, period. I love Italian food.
Do you make
food.
Your own pasta ever?
I've never made my own pasta.
That's my dream.
Yeah.
One day.
It
one
does
day.
Seem like it's a lot of work for like not that much payout.
I know, it's like all pasta's good. Like, is the homemade pasta really that much better?
Right.
I mean, it's all fucking good.
And I never, like, homemade pasta, I feel like, is great for, like, a flat fettuccine noodle or lasagna noodle or, like, a tortellini. Not even a tortellini, actually. But I prefer, like, a thick, like, al dente, like, a bucatini.
Ooh, like, chewy.
Which, like, I'm not trying to make a bucatini. Like,
I
don't
want
to fuck with that.
I'm not trying to make a bucatini. You guys, what's bucatini? I'm sorry.
It's like a
thick spaghetti.
But it doesn't have a hole in it?
It does have a hole, classically.
Oh, I love that kind.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's good.
It's so
you know
good.
What the worst thing about pasta is though, is like the idea of pasta is like it's so rich and so delicious that you theoretically, if you're a true skinny bitch, you like should be able to have like a really responsible small portion of pasta and feel so satisfied and so happy. But for me, it's like act of shoveling pasta in my mouth. It's that to never end.
It's like popcorn. It's one of those things where it just go. I need a large amount of it.
Yeah. I don't want it to end.
Speranza is one of my favorite meals because they give you the bread and I'm like pounding through the bread and I'm pounding through the pasta. It's just like that, and I don't have any shame over it.
That's it. That's it right there.
Yeah.
That's life.
Pasta's too good for me to like cut it out of my life completely, but like I did have to cut it out, you guys, for a month.
Did you do garbanzo bean? Like a, what is that thing called? Bonzo?
No, sweetie, because that's a legume.
Oh, no, beans. That's what kills me about paleo and all that shit. Like no beans, no legumes. That's torture.
That was crazy. And that was the part too where I was like, well, I'm going to be like a little relaxed about this because like no legumes. Like I'm not doing this for like that.
What
like
the
I'm
fuck? Doing this for like the weight. What the fuck do you eat? It's just vegetables and meat at that point.
But here's the deal. The deal is that like obviously it's like one of those like you 30 days of all these things and like all these things that you're cutting out are like inflammatory.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, those kind of beans, like, you know, certain kinds of beans, whatever, inflame your digestive system. Inflame?
Inflame? Like, seriously?
Is that a verb?
No, you got it.
Okay. Yeah. But, and I was like, bullshit, you know. But then, like, you go 30 days without legumes and you eat one chickpea. And honey, I'll see you in the bathroom.
Wow.
You know, because that is, you do learn very quickly, like, once you're like, and the way you're supposed to do it, of course, is like lightly reintroduce one thing at a time, like an allergy.
Never have half of a shave, like shave off like a fingernail thickness of a chickpea.
Yeah, and then see what happens. But I, of course, did not do that. But like, but I did definitely like have hummus, you know, and I was like, holy shit.
Oh, that's
like
so much.
Legume. It's intense. But like, you know, and of course, I'm like fully back on and fine. But
what happened? Like, was your body cut as fuck?
Honestly, I lost 15 pounds.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not kidding.
What
and
is
like,
the average meal on Whole30? Like, is it like a chicken salad? Like, what is it?
It was like a lot. It's, I found it kind of easier than I expected. The first, like, what's an average meal? Kate and I made, I mean, first of all, it was so fun doing it together.
Yes, we, I feel like that's key.
I mean, I think if I was alone, I would have been like the first few days, like I wasn't with Kate when we started. And I was like, I didn't do any shopping for it. I just was like, like looking around in my
so
fridge,
hard.
Scrounging
like
in a cabinet.
16-year-old carrot. Like, it was hell. And I found cashews from like 1983 in my pantry.
Reagan administration cashews. Like, it'll do.
It was disgusting. That part of it was like, but I was also like, here we are at the beginning. Like, I am going to stick to this, whatever. But then Kate and I started making like, You can make a proper bolognese sauce. You know, you can like with ghee instead of butter. Mm-hmm. You know, and then like you can do ground beef. You have to get bacon like without nitrates or whatever. But we were like, whatever, you know. And then like we like just got really nice bacon from like cookbook, you know.
So
but,
nice.
It's like,
you
know.
When you put the sauce on, you just eat the sauce?
Well, we ate it on top of like, you know, you can use spaghetti squash. You can do butternut squash noodles. Or you can just fucking eat the sauce. Or cauliflower rice or like, you know, and again, I don't prefer that. I love my bolognese on like a thick bucatini.
It's still good.
But
it's still good.
You're still getting that intensity of like smoky bacon, beef, carrot, onion, all that shit, tomato. It's like,
It's okay.
I know you don't care.
It's
but
okay.
It was like, you're still getting that, the intensity, that flavor. Like, that's the thing about Whole30 is you can get flavors. You don't get the satisfaction of a grain. You don't get that like quieting like blanket of grain, which I still love, but like you do, you can get rich, sharp fucking flavors.
I feel the same way about being vegan. Like you get so much flavor and just wonderful taste, but you're missing that like animal protein that fills you up and stuffs you. Like that is what
that umami. It's that it's that indefinable umami of meat. Mm-hmm. I feel it's like that saltiness. But I am really into pasta subs and fake pasta like that.
Banza is good.
Banza is good. And I so fuck heavy.
Except the spaghetti. Do not get the Banza spaghetti. I'm sorry.
Speak on it, queen.
And thank you. I love the Banza, like, rotini or whatever. Like, I love, get a short Banza noodle if you're fucking with Banza. The spaghetti is a nightmare. And
it's
like, and I'm very pro Banza, but they have got to not sell that because it just the chickpeaness of it all. It just clumps together. Ooh. You cannot separate it. It's like
eating. They get so clumpy. With those fake pastas, though, the timing of the cook, you cannot just like set it and leave it. You have to be watching that banza like a hawk. But I also fuck with at Trader Joe's. They have these, I want to say sweet potato ribbons or something that. And just taking that and smothering that in a pasta sauce, heaven.
What are you talking about? Sweet potatoes, like, rich and buttery.
It's like cut sweet potatoes in like a little plastic to-go thing or something in the Trader Joe's.
And you bake it?
I think the best way to do it. Like, you can boil it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but you can boil sweet potatoes. That's right.
But, like, if you bake it, it gets that, like, crispy, that roasted crispiness, crunchiness, like, squishiness in the middle.
And then you're eating it with tomato sauce like it's spaghetti?
You make the tomato sauce like you're making the spaghetti.
Are you upset? I don't know.
You're still screaming. You know what? You haven't stopped screaming.
No. I'll say it. I think that sometimes pasta substitutes can be a little, like, eating disorder territory for me.
Totally.
I know. I think
zoodles,
they are right.
Zoodles.
They're like,
come on.
Zucchini noodles. No, I think there's, I totally am right with you. They are like
I'm
a
with
substitute.
You too, girl. But in this case, I had no choice. It was Whole30.
I hear you. And for a, like, I totally get what you're talking about and support that.
Because you definitely are eating more of the substitute than you normally would.
Right. Which is fine. By the way, I have a banza pasta in my, I think that's a little different because that's like actually substantial to me. But...
Yeah. It tastes like pasta. It's not like, it doesn't ruin a meal, like ruin a pasta recipe.
No. Yeah. Fair enough.
I'm going to tell you guys some other Whole30 tricks though. I'm so sorry. My stomach just growled.
Are you hungry?
This is so rude to try to steer this, but I do. I have some more to say about Whole30.
Again, speak
no alcohol.
On a queen. Oh, that's...
And honey, if you want to quickly shave off a couple pounds,
yeah,
do
no
a
kidding,
month with no alcohol, and also like, so I was smoking tons of weed.
Ooh, that'll
and
kill
like,
you.
And that's the other thing too. Oh my God, I had such a crazy experience at a doctor the other day.
Oh.
Who was like hyper conservative and was like, asked me if I smoke marijuana. I was like, yeah. And he was like, he said marijuana. I didn't, sorry.
Yeah. Did you just refer?
I did refer
to
him. Was
that you
or
the doctor? Okay.
but he like fully was, he was like, you know that in 20 years, like, he was like, we could have, like, there's no research on weed.
That's what my mom says. That's her whole, her whole rap on it.
And he was like, it could be as big as the opioid crisis.
Oh,
I was like,
no.
Well, if that were true, then it would already be the case. So many people smoke weed. What are you talking about? Anyway, it was so insane. He also,
but
like,
I get scared when medical professionals, like, even if they sound crazy and conservative, I get scared when they tell me no.
Well, I had other signifiers because he walks in, he goes, you take, I'm on Propecia. Which, speaking of self care,
proud of
loss,
it.
Proud
yes, break yes. the stigma. No yes. more stigma.
No more
I need
stigma
to go
about
on
hair loss or being on Propecia.
Your hair's looking good and luscious, by the way.
Thank you so much. So I've been on it for a while, but he goes. So he first thing he says, so you're on Propecia, and I was like, yeah, and he was like, for what? And I was like, hair loss.
Fuck you, dog.
And he was, and I was like, you know, duh. And he was like, what did he? He was like, we use that to treat like prostate issues. And I was like, I have heard that, like, you know, of course it's like connected to that stuff. Like it's connected to like hormones and like, you know, and he was like fully judging me for using it cosmetically. He was like, why do you use it? He kept asking me. I was like,
what a psycho.
Like,
what doctor was this?
It was just like a doctor through my insurance.
ZocDoc?
It was like the, well, it felt like it is essentially ZocDoc. It's like, I went on my goddamn insurance website. Look, I'm like, I need a primary care physician. They're like, here's 4,000 names and more information.
That. Oh my God.
You've
and then you get
ask
into a.
Around.
I
you've
tried.
Get a
I
wreck.
Can't. It's, I
and then
get
you get
into
this cycle of like looking up the doctors on the insurance on Yelp.
Yeah.
When
I
I'm looking up
it.
A doctor on Yelp, I'm at my lowest.
I know, me too.
I'm like reading
me
reviews
too.
From people that are reviewing doctors on Yelp.
I
like, I can't trust those people.
But
I'll
now
do that
I
want to
review this guy. Because also, he was like, so he like judged me for that, and then the marijuana. So he kept coming back to it. Like we were like completely moving on, and he just kept being like, "You have to be careful with marijuana." I was like,
mumbling it.
Yeah, and then like, and then his assistant was like, before I came in, she was like, "Who do you live with?" And I was like, "Do you live with anyone?" And I was like, "My boyfriend." And she's paused, and she goes, "I'm just gonna say family." And I was like,
"Oh
what?
No."
Bad treatment
like, this,
with a side of homophobia.
Like a weird, like, is this like an administrative thing where there's not a check for like boyfriend or girlfriend, like, or like
right.
non-married
yeah, fair,
spouse?
Fair, but
doesn't
she didn't have, did she have
it?
To tell you that?
I know it was.
Couldn't
exactly.
she just checked a box on her stupid form?
Where
exactly.
was this?
By the way, cash only.
Where?
I walked out. I like pulled out a card to pay the copay, and they're like, "We're cash only." I was like, "Y'all are crazy."
Were you like at a strip mall in Chino? Where was this?
In Little Armenia.
Oh.
In like a really like run-down building, but I don't care about that. But like, it was cash only, and they outsource all the, like, I was going just to get basic checkup, like blood tests, whatever. Oh, and he did not, this is malpractice. In the blood test,
doctor,
he did not offer STD testing. Like, he was like, I was like, I'm just here to do any kind of routine, like, blood testing for, like, a regular checkup. Boom. Every checkup I've ever had since I was, like, 18, they've, like, done routine STD, like, panel. You know? That's, like, and you never have to ask. And he was telling me, and I was like, sorry. I was like, can I get an STD panel? Like, and he was like, okay.
Oh, that weed you're smoking, we better.
Yeah.
He's like, crazy.
He was like, okay. Like as if it was like, why do you need it? You know, like, I was like, this is crazy.
Wow.
Cash only, and all the testing is outsourced. It's like,
so you're
gonna have to Quest fucking diagnostics.
I don't want to Quest it up. No. I don't want to go to a Quest.
I know. I'm here for one stop shop. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, going to a Quest
Whole
is like
30.
Worse That's than a Jiffy.
Slow cooked chicken and bib lettuce tacos is a huge thing for us too.
Oh, yeah. I could fuck with a roasted chicken
slow
so
cooked
hard.
Meat, and then you have tons of it. Sorry,
it's okay.
I'm a cool vegan.
I'm a cool vegan.
She only says meat is murder like once every other episode. Like, she says it so rarely. But Esther is the coolest vegan.
Thank you.
Yes,
you are. But let's go back to that slow cooked chicken real quick.
So the weed though, no alcohol, lots of weed.
But you were weeding on Whole 30? I mean, you have to.
Yeah, like, well, you can't do like mints. You can't do
You can't do that. The Altoid thing's a little crazy because there's a little sugar in that.
Yeah, like, what? It has
no,
like,
fake
lots
sugar.
Of stuff has, yeah, no fake sugar, no processed sugars.
That's good. That
is
so good.
The whole theory
though.
That you're clearing yourself of these like irritants and then you'll.
And then you'll
hit
feel great,
gorgeous.
and then you kind of reintroduce them back into your diet after 30 days, and then like you learn which things you're actually.
It sounds similar
to
Clean Program, which we talked about a few weeks ago, which is a 21 day.
Interesting. So then you figure out what foods you are more sensitive to. That is interesting.
But I didn't do that, honestly. I just was like, I feel really good. Like, I had like I had headaches for the first like 10 days. I was like, wow, no sugar. Like, I just, because it's not just like no sweets. It's like anything
fruits?
That has sugar. You can do natural sugars like in fruits.
Thank God.
That's the only,
that's
like...
That's where diets lose me, when it's like no fruit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
But also, so the weed smoking, like every night, like would smoke some weed instead of drinking.
Yep.
And then like I would have like beautiful fruit. I would eat like pineapple and like watermelon. I'd be like... And it really felt amazing.
Fruit is
just
so right.
When you're high and you eat fruit.
Cold
it is just like
fruit.
You're like... Why don't I do this more often?
Esther, that's why I like frozen fruit. That's like a classic high snack.
I love frozen fruit.
That's a classic high snack.
Oh, you eat that high?
I love frozen berries.
Frozen berries. I get this big daddy from Costco of frozen mixed berries, and it just sits in my freaking
things. And you just pop it?
I'm popping on, baby. And
I love tart.
This is like my dark.
Oh, I love tart. You love tart?
I love tart.
Oh, I love sweet, sweet, sweet.
Ooh. I'm like tart berry. I love like
sour
I love
girl.
Like a berry.
Crumble? Rhubarb.
Crumble, yes. Yes, I love a.
Sour crumble.
What's it called? But there's another word for it than crumble.
Crisp?
Cobbler.
Cobbler.
Yeah. Oh.
Cobbler.
I could do tart in a cobbler, sure. Any day of the week.
Dude, I think the best fruit, though, before we move on, it's got to be frozen mango. That is like the king daddy for me.
I've never done that.
Frozen mango is so good.
You can just bite into them. They're smooth.
Bite into it?
Well, you know, like when it cools up, they're very smooth. Oh my God, I am so horny.
It's like having sorbet. It tastes like sorbet.
Yes, it's like a sorbet.
It's the texture of sorbet.
But fruit, like, I'm so happy because it's spring, which means watermelon season is right around
the
corner.
I love, are you crazy about watermelon?
She becomes a different
crazy
person in watermelon
season. Crazy for watermelon. I will like get them, and I'll have to have like two in the house at any given time. And it's this whole like primal like bloodletting ceremony
so
when I crack into
full...
one.
You
I do not
do
buy them. I don't
no.
even say it.
This is a
sorry.
I don't buy them sliced.
I think
they taste different, and I need it.
Do.
And they are so hard to cut, but I love it. They're heavy, and I like to get the big daddies, and I'm like knocking on them at the thing.
So
I'm,
you know how to properly like
select
cut one.
Not quite. Oh, cut one, yes.
Okay.
I'll see her in the summer, and I'll be like, what are you doing today? And she's like,
getting on.
Getting ready to have one of my watermelons is ready. It's like her whole night, like 3 p.m.
It becomes
to 10
my
PM.
Personality in the
but
summer.
What do you mean it's ready? Like, it's...
It's just like when one has cleared, when I've cleared out the last watermelon from the fridge, it's like time to cut the new one.
Okay, yeah.
It's very ceremonial, and it's very, it's very yonic, and it's very, like, it's very sexual. And the, then, of course, the thing that takes it over the top is the tagine seasoning.
What?
You white angels. Do you know tagine? Like when you go to a fruit stand? Not a tagine.
Like
which,
a Moroccan tagine.
Which I brought back from Morocco this winter, and I deeply regret bringing back a tagine. That's a side story.
What? You do?
Why did I bring... I had to buy a separate suitcase for it. I've used it twice. The chicken wasn't that good when I cooked it. And I realized the reason that Moroccan people in the desert use tagines is because they didn't have an oven in the desert. And they needed a tagine.
Wow. I did not know this.
It just sits on my stove, and I stare at it every day, and I'm just like,
why
did I do
that? I just can think about when you brought that tagine back and you were so happy.
That was my personality for a moment as well. Yeah, so tagine seasoning, like when you go to the fruit, do you ever go to like a fruit stand in LA where they're like cutting fruit and you get like cucumber, da 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 da, then at the end they have the spicy,
like hot sauce that you can put on mango,
yeah, but it's dry, yeah it's like a spicy limey.
Ooh,
dude,
yum.
You've got to try tagine on fruit. It's very tangy. Good. It's more tangy than anything.
You're off weed right now, right?
I am. It's been a week today. I'm a big stoner. I have a tattoo of a weed leaf. Like,
is that true?
It's removed now, but you can see the. You want to see the faint outline?
You got to see. Getting it removed?
I can't. It's around my kids.
I understand, but
it's
like,
my kids.
What is the process of getting a tattoo removed?
It's horrible. It's so painful. I have the highest pain tolerance ever.
Yeah.
And the laser that they use, it's this like thin needle looking laser, and it's like you feel it under your skin. It burns. It hurts so.
Wow. Is it worse than getting the tattoo?
There's no comparison. The tattoo felt good compared to the laser.
Wow.
Like I would take
And how long is the treatment?
Of course, I found scared. Like some cheap ass place. That's the other thing. Like, I really recommend going to a medical professional, not like a med spa.
Right.
I do think that makes a world of difference.
Yeah.
And then I found out because I got it in green, the tattoo, it's a whole story. Like, my friend had a tattoo machine. I was like in this like rebellious phase.
Yeah.
And it was free. It was like in her living room. And I'm like, I won't regret it. It's free. How could I regret something that's free?
that feels like a different person.
Yeah.
I know. It's really
sad. Will you show us an update of your leg?
Yeah, I'll show you. But, so it's green, which then I found out when I was getting removed is the hardest color to get removed.
No.
And they only, as of recently, have lasers that can remove a green tattoo. So
you've been using like...
It's called a Pico...
Older lasers.
So it's like literally... First of all, got it on the
wood. It's like gone.
Great.
It's gone,
yeah.
But it was a weed leaf with a happy face.
For the listeners, it looks like a subtle bruise.
Oh, it's gone.
It's like gone.
It's gone. I know. So I'm basically at the end of treatments.
I'm impressed.
I'm so happy I got it over with. But it was just like when my mom saw it, it was like the most. Yeah, I've just never seen disappointment on like the disappointment I saw on my loved ones' faces when they realized what I had done to my body. Oh, not that young. Like a solid 23 or 24.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm turning 28.
And your mom was crushed.
It definitely feels like a 15.
Yes.
I know. It's so crazy. I don't know what I was thinking. But anyway, I love weed. Love it. Like it's part of, it's just, my body like loves weed.
Yeah.
It reacts so well to weed.
Yeah.
But I forget everything. I'm trash. Like my brain is garbage, you know. So I'm doing a little period of cleansing.
Yeah.
It's so
totally.
Good. And it's like every time I'll do a month off weed, hopefully I can do more. Like I would like to cut it out of my life, like mostly,
really?
Ideally, long term. Yeah. I mean, maybe like find CBD. There's got to be a happy medium in there.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like daily weed smoking. Like I can't sustain that.
No.
I've got to find.
Just gets
it's
shot.
Gone. Yeah, it's
I
gone.
Know you were saying though that you were worried about like that because you look forward to doing it after work. So I'm curious.
I've been so busy lately that thankfully it's like, I think it's like when I'm less busy and it's like I'm going home right after work at 6 p.m. I'm like, what am I doing with myself? But if it's like if I'm busy, it's like I'm not home till 11 p.m. after doing a show or something like that. Like I'm so tired anyway.
Yeah.
But I miss it. And it's also so much of it is about the oral fixation and the ritual of like rolling and sharing it.
Yes.
You will find most of your addictions are ritual.
No, it's 100%.
Yes.
So then how do you create new, healthier rituals?
Well, that's the thing. It's
right
like, what
after
is
the break. When I grew up, that was me going to the commercial.
Commercial. Okay, oh my God. My plaque psoriasis has always been I don't know. And what is a good replacement for weed, right? Like it's so special and unique.
Yeah.
But I've mentioned this now on the past two podcasts. I'm experimenting with like buying herbs and like smoking chamomile, lavender, mm-hmm. raspberry leaf, and it's like not the same, and it tastes fucking disgusting.
Yeah, yeah.
Why it's horrible. Do you think rituals is what is that like animal instinct? Why do we love rituals so much? It's just like something to do.
It's
just
so like comforting.
Something that's like repeated. I think just like repetition and structure create the illusion of meaning, and meaning is very comforting.
Distraction from.
Not even
bad
distraction,
stuff.
Just
from
like
the chaos
like
of our brains.
A shape from like the just utter nothingness, this is the vastness of it all. It's like if you can like have a repeated like totems,
100%.
It's like,
Brains function well in structure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's true. It's just like the chaos, the nothingness, the void. And then it's like, oh, I can rely, like this is going to be the same.
I mean, this would kill me. Like if you suggested this to me, I would like hit you.
Tea.
I have had some moments with tea because I love coffee. And I've had some moments with tea recently where I'm like, okay, this is cool. Like, I could fuck with tea. Like, I'm so slowly stepping into tea land.
Into tea. Because
coffee will. Coffee just like shoots out of me.
I know. It's the best feeling. It's
right,
like.
But I don't have trouble with digestion. Like, I don't have constipation.
Yeah.
You have the opposite.
I've always had the opposite problem. So, like, coffee just exacerbates it by a million.
So you should really be not having coffee.
But see, I love the ritual of coffee so much. John, I love the smell of it. I love making it.
I love the smell.
Oh, it's the best. I love, like, picking up a coffee on the way to, like, before you're driving for, like, 30 minutes.
Yes.
Someone to have a little iced coffee in the car.
Yes, yes, yes. John, come to the dark side. We are mostly matcha girls now.
Yeah.
I've never been a matcha girl.
All right.
I could learn.
You could.
I think you could. It's so fun.
It's caffeinated as hell, right?
It is. And it's, like, supposed to be a slower burn of a caffeine
hit. It's a good caffeine, though.
That's the nice thing about teas.
Talk about teas.
Well, here's what I've learned. Oh. Is that the slower burn of the caffeine is so important. Like a steady, calm caffeine fix rather than coffee where I'm like, after one sip, I'm emailing my managers being like, I want to do film. I really want to direct. I really want to direct. And I'm like, I get so insane.
About that audition I went on 3 months ago. Did we ever get feedback on that? Like, no.
Sums off. Gmail's down because we haven't heard from them yet.
It's true. I get so entrepreneurial on coffee.
No.
And then I fucking crash.
Yes,
and it's like anxiety. I'm like, Ebola's coming, like everything bad.
Everything bad. But what teas are we loving?
Well, I love, like, I just love the taste of Earl Grey with milk.
Oh, you are such an old, an old Southern lady or something.
I am. I'm like, I love sweaters and I love.
You're like a little British too.
I like,
the smell of old books perhaps.
Yes. That was always my fantasy of being an adult, was like cardigans and dust and drapes.
Small glasses on a chain.
Yeah.
Very thick curtains.
Pice.
Very, very thick
curtains.
Have
not been dusted.
Yes. No.
I have been drinking ginger tea because one of our listeners posted about that. I was feeling cold a lot in the last 2 months. And someone posted, like, hot ginger tea will just, like, naturally warm your body up, obviously, because it's hot, and then just the ginger.
The spice of it all.
Yeah, and I've been drinking that at work, and I like, now look forward to the ginger tea. I can't believe I'm saying it.
I know.
I love this conversation. We are just, like, letting it all hang out.
This is pretty girl like shit right here.
Including my bowels.
Talking about tea is pretty girl. That's, we're all pretty girls
right now. I know.
I feel that. I feel that, sister. Do we fuck with the fresh ginger grated in the bottom of a mug, a little squeeze of a lemon, and
if
a
you're doing
honey?
It for me, then yes.
Fair enough.
Can I give you the greatest ginger tip of all time?
I would love it.
Learned this from my mom.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Well, me too. So you literally, okay, to get the best way to get the juice out of ginger, microplane ginger, which is easy.
What's microplaning?
Microplaning is just like a really nice grater that gives you a really fine cut, but it's also really quick. It's not as like, there's something about like the technology of it that is like, it's not like there's not a lot of effort in the grate. It's not exhausting. It's just like, whew, and so much comes out.
Wow. What?
Yes. Microplanes.
I'm over here with a cheese grater like an idiot.
Don't fuck with a cheese grater.
I'm like losing my mind over here. It's all pulp.
It's good for zest too. It's like the perfect size for zest. So you grate, you leave, you don't have to peel the ginger.
No, the skin has the flavor.
You leave the skin on.
Wait, excuse me?
Skin has the flavor in ginger.
Well, here we go. you grate it because you grate it into a micro, you microplane the ginger with the peel on into a, like a thick paper towel, like a folded over paper towel. Then you fold the paper towel up and you have all this like ginger grate inside of it. And then you squeeze the ginger juice through the paper towel and so much comes out and you never have to bother with peeling. I mean, so this is still not really with the peel.
Okay.
But you get tons of juice.
Fair enough.
And it's perfect for penicillins, whiskey, lemon, ginger juice, honey.
The booze of it all.
Yeah.
Comes back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm back on.
Oh, good.
Very back
good.
On the hooch.
If I was doing ginger in a blended drink, can I put the skin on too, or do I have to peel the skin?
Ginger in a blended drink?
What yeah. I'm sorry. I am just going to say ginger skin is like totally flavorful. A lot of the flavors in the skin, you are totally fine to eat it.
What? Be peeled. What's wrong with me?
I mean, you want to wash it, you know.
Okay.
Give her a good wash, but there's minerals. Like, I love like eating sweet potato skin, fish skin, yes. all the skins. Like, minerals, baby. Of course, you want to give that a good wash, but like that is just good for you. That's where the nutrients are.
Right. I definitely
don't
know
be afraid of
skin. Yeah, I didn't know. I always assumed you had to peel that.
Don't be afraid of skin.
I'm wasting so much ginger.
And you're wasting your time.
Like a chump.
Yeah.
Wasting your time as well.
I'm worried more about the ginger costs than my own time.
Fair enough. Oh, tea.
I know.
Tea is just like the best.
We have this new segment where we have been doing polls for our listeners.
Okay.
And I'm going to read a poll to you and I want you to guess what the
most popular response
yes.
is. Okay.
So the first one, so one we'll do today is... What's a good one for you? Okay. Stress and anxiety are a problem for me. How many do you think said yep or not really, percentage-wise?
I mean, I think 98% said yes.
Caroline?
I would agree. Maybe put it at like a 95 or something.
Just to be safe.
You guys are pretty good on this. It's 89% said yep and Caroline 11% wins. Said not really.
We both went over.
And we had almost 2,000 people ring in.
Wow. I just wonder, I just can't imagine clicking not really. I do think that there is kind of a thing with our generation where like stress is kind of trendy. You know what I mean?
There's something that's like I'm so busy. I'm so stressed.
But even just like in an internet-y way, there's something about like anxiety that's like cute. Mm-hmm. That I really hate.
It's like the new
a
pizza.
Lot of YouTubers talk about it, I feel like.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of my beauty YouTubers are like, talk about their anxiety. I don't know, anyway.
Well, that sounds more like open and honest. I'm talking more about like kind
meme,
of like...
Meme, like a meme way.
Like yeah, and like a meme-y way, like we're like the format or like the... Like I'm thinking of like tweets
me,
that are like,
my
ate
anxiety.
A whole pizza again, like... Like what do I do? Like just like tweets about like your anxiety and like a kind of... I don't know. I think it comes from just like a decade's worth of like content and TV about like millennial like narcissism and like I don't know. I think that's probably
maybe you're just saying it's kind of like a hacky joke area.
It's hacky.
It's like it's like a punchline almost, but it's like what are the reasons for stress and anxiety? There are so many different things that could be manifesting as stress and anxiety, or you could be interpreting as stress and anxiety and kind of using that as a blanket term for so many different things.
Yes.
Insecurity.
Right.
Like, I mean, fill in the blank. Like all these other little feelings that maybe aren't exactly stress and anxiety. Yeah, nervousness. Like longing for something, needing something.
Insecurity.
Right.
Did you say that?
I'm not sure. But
I think you did. That's the first thing you said.
I will say she did.
I will. Well,
I couldn't think of anything else.
Well, before I left the house for today, my roommate was like, I see this poll you just did, and my roommate's a huge stoner, and he's like, he clicked the no, and he was like, and he was like, oh, like I think at that point it was like 95% said yes.
Yeah.
He's like, I think the other people saying no, like, are using crutches or like chilled out on something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Because I do think it's just like it is just part of being alive. It's just. Being stressed.
Right? Yes. It's like our survival brain.
But I will say, I do remember life before stress and anxiety. Like, I vividly remember the switch.
A
and
feeling.
I know. I also remember feeling stressed for the first time. Like, oh, this is what, like, adults talk about. This is what stress is. And I also think, like, our listeners are
up on their like self-care and stuff. And I do think that there are people out there who have it managed through whether it's like meditation or exercise.
Yeah.
I believe, but I definitely identify as I am someone with stress and anxiety.
Oh,
obviously.
Me too. And yeah. And it's not that I think like, yeah, the hack joke thing. I do think that people, I don't even really know what I was trying to say with that, but like, I it's not that I think those people aren't stressed or anxious. I just think there is like, there is also I do think part of being an adult is just being stressed.
Right. It's just part of the DNA of it. So it's not extra. You're not special.
Yes, you're not special.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you do need to figure out a way to manage it. And like, yeah, it's hard.
That's the struggle of life, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what are the ways that aren't smoking weed and drinking? It's like pretty much does seem to be exercise, meditation,
getting good sleep.
Haven't done it.
Sleeping.
Reading is the ultimate de-stressor, and I never do it. And
same.
It's like
reading whenever knocks me out too.
Yeah, oh, and I fall asleep immediately.
It's the best.
It's such a joke. I get a page, and I'm like, I like love the way I look when I'm reading. And then, but it is so exotic now to feel your brain going in one direction, which is like what I feel when I'm reading. It just feels this like beautiful, like taffy, like my brain's just going like here for like as you know. You're just following one story, one train of thought, versus just like the internet and being like
all over,
like just being
looking everywhere. Yes,
yeah, it's such a nice feeling. It's so exotic.
It's exotic.
Yeah,
it's you're so right. Being pulled a million different directions. Another thing I have with like stress and anxiety, and you guys can feel free to tell me like what I'm about to say is really fucked up.
Work.
So I feel like talking about how stressed you are and how anxious you are, it's almost like. And in correlation with like being busy and being someone who's like doing a lot of things, it's almost like a badge of honor now, I feel like, for people to be like, I'm so stressed. I'm the stress. I'm so busy. And it's like, of course, I'm guilty of like talking about how busy I am. And like when people are really busy and like you should be able to talk about that. But there's something that annoys me specifically about people being like, I'm so stressed. Like, I can't even like function right now. Like I have so much going on. Like it's not bragging quite, but it's like cool to be stressed or something like
you're
that.
Almost
but it's
asking like it should be for cool. Like, and I've been there. Like I feel like when I'm stressed out, there's a lot of like I find ways to, like sneak it into conversation. I find ways to be like,
which is human nature.
It feels
I'm not
good to get it out, which is but it's weird. Like I feel like I that person, and I've been that person where that's all they want. It's like. I'm so tired. I'm so busy. And it is. You're right. It's like
we're all tired and busy.
It's a brag.
Yes.
It's totally a brag, but it's also like getting it off your chest. It's weird.
Yeah, it's a tough balance because it is. I am so confused. But yeah, people who like talk about their like physical state all the time, like fatigue, like just like
people that are so
like, people who are
anxious.
Constantly talking about their being tired. I'm like, okay, this has got like this is not so good combo. No, it's also me too. It's like
I mean, right?
It's more of a
people that use like their physical ailments as a crutch or like their personality or conversation piece.
Well, there's
like,
literally nothing to say. That's the problem. It's like when it is satisfying to talk about it. It's satisfying to get it out. There's literally like when someone says that to you, you're like. Whoa.
Sorry.
You're like, oh my God, well, why are you tired? It's
right?
Like, you're like, it's just, it's such a, you're just like, I don't know. I can't find this interesting. Like, I'm tired every night.
Instead of like stress and anxiety being like a meme or like something that people wear as a badge of honor almost to like prove how busy they are, it's like, I want to live in a world where we're talking about how like fucking chill and like how well we're coping with the stress. Like, what if that was like the what we led with?
Like
that was the badge of honor.
Well, it's a little maybe too earnest for people.
Yeah, I did a 15-minute walk. Like, I'm just making it up, but like,
yeah.
I obviously didn't do that.
Right.
I know, just hearing you say it, I was like, maybe I don't want to live in that world.
Because then you're like, suddenly you're like Laura Dern and enlightened. You're like, yeah, I just really, you know.
Everything is great.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right.
You don't want to be that person either. And people who are kind of talking about their yoga practice and like, that's just like.
Ooh.
It's a very
I guess
hard
we
balance.
Don't want to live in that world. But
let's
you know,
just complain.
I'm going to take, I'm going to be the kind of like minority in this conversation. I am someone that does naturally, I operate at a like non-stressy kind of place. And I feel like I am not someone who like, I mean, I obviously have a lot of insecurities and anxieties, but I'm like more of an even-keeled person. I don't get frantic. I don't get like I feel like when people have stress and anxiety, it like affects those around them. Like, yes. I am not that person. I am just like an even keeled calm. I do not know if it's from years of smoking weed. I don't know what it's from. I'm like a natural like conflict resolver. Mm-hmm.
I have to say that is so impressive to me because I hear that and I'm like, oh, that must be someone who's just like you work so hard that it doesn't it's interesting. Like, I would just assume that someone who works hard is like on that stress level. Yeah. But instead, like, you like
I just
are able
think
to...
that kind of person who's like wearing their anxiety on their sleeve or like being so, I think it's poisonous. Like, I don't want to be that energy. I want to be like the chill girl.
And also, you probably get a lot out through work. Like, the work probably isn't generating anxiety for you. It's actually a place to channel maybe anxieties or like
yeah.
And then when in the moments when you're not working, you're like, oh, hey.
Yeah. Oh, hey. I want to be that girl, though. Yeah. I want to be that chill girl. What can I say?
Well, you are, babe.
We're on our way. We're glowing up.
We are.
We're gonna
John,
be
you're
that.
Glowy. Can
oh
I just say?
Oh, my God. Thank you.
I know I said it before, but your skin.
I know.
Your just, like, fun attitude to life. Your love thank for you. Tea. Your easy for where'd that mic come from? Just like smash your
just bumped into the mic receiving a compliment.
So hungry. Your whole vibe, your aura, like how free you are talking about all kinds of things, like that's a glow up right there.
Bless you. Thank
yeah.
You.
We also I want to ask like any self care that comes to mind or like rituals. I know you said
yes.
Coffee and weed, but like is that like I don't know, more self-care stuff?
To me, like, I cooking, I feel like, is, like, the best thing in the world. Oof. Like, because it's so, it just calms you down. Like, the time it takes to cook something, like, you do have to get over the hump because, like, there's a while there where you're, like, you feel the pull of the convenience of ordering or, like, going out to eat, you know. But, like, if you can push through that initial resistance, it is, that has, like, changed my life recently is like, and it's just cooking is social and it's like, I mean, you can cook for yourself obviously, but also like
cooking with a friend, like
it's so fun to plan a meal with a friend,
yes.
Go get those ingredients together,
yes.
Cook it together and then eat it together. It's like the best thing in the world. Like that to me is what's up. And then like, and then you just immediately kind of burn out a recipe and then it just opens up. You're like, well, I should start cooking with this, or like, I don't know, or like, I like this, I want to recreate this thing I had at a restaurant. And like, I just, like, that has, like, really de-stressed me recently. It, is, like, the hour a day that you spend, like, making a meal or, like, you know.
Wow. Yeah. You do that every day?
Well, it's because I honestly moved in with my boyfriend.
Oh.
So it's, yeah. Like, that is happening a lot more. It is very hard to cook on your own, I think.
Huh. Yeah. Like, you need a sous chef, kind of.
You need a sous chef. You need it to be collaborative. It's more fun if it's collaborative.
And you're
like,
just playing music.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're, like, drinking wine. Like,
it's
just
fun
talking
to cook
about
alone,
it makes me so happy.
It's the portions for one person is, like, it's so hard to, like, buy the right amount of stuff for one person. I don't know.
It's kind of impossible. Like, it really is about cooking with someone, having enough for everyone. You guys, I just love it so much.
When you say recreate something from a restaurant, that sounds such, like, an algebra puzzle that I can't figure out. Like, how do you even approach that?
Well, not even like it's not like meticulously or methodically trying to recreate something from a restaurant, like fully refabricate it. It's more just like, what are the general flavors I'm feeling at like this group of restaurants right now? Like, you know, this like Mediterranean trend happening right now in LA. Like, you know, there's some like explosive Mediterranean restaurants right now. And
like where?
Like, you know, Botanica Kismet. But, you know, to name some of the much more trendy ones, there are, of course, like, ancient Mediterranean places
Vancouver.
Here. That are, yeah, I didn't have that till this year.
I feel
it's
like...
It's so good. Well, I didn't move to LA till this year.
It's
so good.
I'm happy that you're gravitating towards Mediterranean flavors, my favorite.
Yes.
It's kind of my wheelhouse right
yes.
there. My happy place. Ooh, a little Zanku. We love this place called Joe's Falafel in the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
They do a veggie plate that will blow your balls off.
Easy
I can't
to make
wait.
It vegan. Just get two hummuses instead of a baba ganoush.
No one here is vegan. Oh, but people listening.
Jesus.
They do, but it's really about the cabbage salad.
I'm so sorry. So we've attacked you today.
And we got to be on our guard with her, though. She'll turn it right back on you. Don't be fooled by her sweet little face.
But it's more just like, oh, I love, like I'm trying to, it's like, oh, I've had some really good, like, potato dishes with, like, lots of lemon on them.
There you go.
Recently. Mm-hmm. That's, like, a new, that's, like, a flavor profile that I'm, like, loving. Like, charred lemon and, like, and fried potatoes. Like,
Mazza right there.
That Mazza. But also at Kismet, they have an amazing, like, scallop, lemony, like, creme fraiche potato thing that is unreal. But, like, so that's just something where I'm, like, squeeze some lemon on the potatoes. It doesn't always have to be like butter and, you know, rosemary.
No, you
which
know,
is so good.
It's also, it's like I sometimes get into this thought process where I'm like, going out to eat is the end all be all of like having a meal. Like nothing I make at home is going to be that good.
Right.
But it's like when you practice and you get your reps in, you're like demystifying the whole process of going out to eat.
And it literally is just following a recipe. Like
it can
I am not
be, yes.
a good, like I'm an okay experimenter with very simple things like... like a good, like something to put on top of toast, you know? But like, I'm not a good, like I can't make an intricate, like chicken rice dish, you know, whatever, alone. But like, buying like 6 or 7 cookbooks from like restaurants you love or like chefs you love that, like, whatever, to me is like the most fun thing in the world. To like, totally. To like spend like right around 5 p.m. to like look through like a couple cookbooks and pick like one main dish, one side dish, and then be like, let's go. And then grocery shopping. And it's like, there's nothing more relaxing to me than that.
I'm so inspired right now.
Yes.
This is amazing.
And it literally is just following the recipe. That's the thing. Cooking is so intimidating.
It is. I'm so intimidated.
But it literally is just like, doink, doink. It's not like, you don't have to be Juliette Binoche and Chocolat. You don't have to be like whimsical and like.
Can I tell you guys the funniest story about Chocolat?
I've saw it so many times in theaters.
Well, listen to this. So my really good friend, Alex Jacobs, who I went to Northwestern with, he's just this like normal white guy. He's really good friends with Sam. Mm-hmm. And he's just like from, I want to say like, not Valencia, some like suburb right near here, right? Like Burbank adjacent. And, La Cañada, Fint Ridge, like white Jewish guy.
Uh-huh.
His dad is a screenwriter. I've known this. I went to their house. They have a beautiful house. His dad is like a Jewish guy. His dad fucking wrote Chocolat. Like, I finally was like, what is the movie that your dad wrote?
That got you this.
And it's Chocolat. His dad wrote Chocolat.
That does check out, actually.
Does that work for you? Because I don't remember the movie that well, but I'm like, isn't that a movie about like French sensuality in the Provence?
Coming into, yeah.
It's like, isn't that about chocolat in the Provence?
Yes, it is.
Anyway, I was just mind blown by that, truly.
Like, before I knew I was gay, like, Juliette Binoche is like the last person I was telling my family I had a crush on, which is why I was like, they were like, he's gay. Like, I was like, Juliette Binoche and Chocolat, like, I would have to say, is my feminine ideal. Like, I was like, she's so sexy.
There's just something about her lines and her face. I like how Baby You sounds like Paul Lynde.
He was.
Horny teenage John is Paul Lynde, is adult 70-year-old.
I love Paul Lynde.
Me too. I know.
You guys.
No.
This has been
really fun.
Thank you, John, for coming on.
I'm so inspired by you. Like,
I didn't know you were such a hot girl. I really didn't.
Yeah.
Like, I knew you were hot. I knew you were hot.
Well,
but
Kate has rubbed off on me. Has Kate done this?
She did a live show, but we need to get her in the studio because we need to really get in there.
You need to do like a 7-part episode with Kate because she, like, if you get her started on products, on food.
Oh,
like,
I know.
And that has rubbed off on me a little bit. I've always loved the idea of cooking. I'm not necessarily great at it, but I do love cooking. That's where I've always been a hot girl. But like diet shit and like, you know, self-care shit has been completely through osmosis in being friends with Kate.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Fair enough.
I feel it. John, where can people find you and find more of you? What's the best place? I know you're amazing on Search Party.
Ah, oh, thank you.
Truly.
JohnEarly.tumblr.com is where I have all my like live dates and all my videos that I've made that I love.
That's amazing.
And I have if you're in LA, I have a show second Tuesday of every month. Esther's done it. Caroline will do it.
Thank you.
It's truly a great show. And I have
the best show. Houseband Buck?
Houseband Buck. Do you know them?
I know them a little bit, like I don't know. Like that
I
apartment
them.
I saw you at once.
Oh,
I like
yes,
later
yes,
found out was like their apartment.
Yeah. And then I'm doing 4 shows at the Bell House in June in Brooklyn and New York.
Hey!
Pride weekend.
Hey now.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's our guy right there.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. And thank you, John. We'll see you soon. Come back.
Bye, you guys. Thank you. Let's go.
A podcast network.